Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Webtoon Wednesday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about a relatively new strip. Comes from the Canvas side, formerly Discover. Now on the featured side, the strip is called The Kiss Bet, and I have the creator of the strip, Ingrid Ochoa. Did I say that correctly?
Yep, you're right, Ingrid Ochoa.
Yeah, so she's joining me to talk about the strip. And it's great to have you on the show, Ingrid. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I have to say that normally when I read the sort of the slice of life or the sort of the romantic strips, they're often entertaining and very high quality. But I don't know that I've ever read kind of a romance-centric strip that was as compelling as The Kiss Bet. I couldn't put it down, and I as soon as I got caught up, I immediately wanted more. So we'll talk about like what it is about the strip that makes it so compelling. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you, whenever I have a creator on for the first time, I always like to ask about kind of the background, the secret origin. You know, did you grow up reading comics, make the transition to a creator, all that kind of stuff. So what's your secret origin, so to speak? Did you grow up reading comics?
Yeah, I didn't read very much because it wasn't available very much in my country. I'm from Latin America. Mm-hmm. But I watched a ton of anime and like Nickelodeon, and I read a ton of books, and yeah, whatever I could read and was available to me, I loved it.
And then at what point did you start thinking, well, maybe I want to move on from just being a fan and maybe I have some stories of my own to tell?
So I've always been a storyteller. I've always just been trying to figure out what's the best medium for me to use to share my stories. I tried being a writer for a little bit, but I wasn't very good with words. And then I was like, maybe I can go into film and I can like show my stories in film mode. But then when I was younger, like around high school, I discovered I could draw. And so I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can just draw my stories. And my friends at school would read them. And I started making these little comics. And it was just a lot of fun. And they seemed to really enjoy them. And so, you know, I've been posting little comics online since high school. It's been a long time.
And then at what point did you discover Webtoon?
I discovered Webtoon about 2 years ago. My sister, my little sister, she would read some strips there and started sharing them with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And it had been around like 4 years since I stopped drawing comics. I was focusing more on like other types of drawing. And then at the time when she shared it to me, I was like, oh man, this was my dream when I was a child. And so I was like, hey, I can like get back into this because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that had to be a really exciting discovery for you too, because you mentioned kind of the lack of accessibility where you lived. And all of a sudden, here's this platform with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of strips, all different genres, all different types of stories available digitally and for free, right?
Right. And it was amazing for me because I discovered that people, like just normal citizens, could post on Webtoons. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I can post my stuff there and people just like it. So that was cool.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about The Kiss Bet, your strip that, as I said, moved over from kind of the Discover, the Canvas side over to Featured. What's the strip all about?
So the story, it follows the life of Sarah Lynn. She's a senior in high school, and she hasn't had her first kiss yet. She's just turned 18 years old, and she has her best friend, Patrick, who always, you know, they're always teasing each other. He always bets, they do bets together to like risky things, kind of high school age risky things. And then one day the story starts where Patrick says, I bet you wouldn't kiss that guy in the subway. And she, you know, tries to go for it. And the whole story just follows what happens with the subway boy and all her other friends in high school. And you're just trying to find out who she's going to end up with and who's, you know, who's going to be her first kiss.
Yeah, and it's really so much more than that. So, you know, I kind of categorize it as a romance, but it's also about something that a lot of us can relate to, and that's, you know, being in school, being in high school, trying to fit in, the relationships you have with your, you know, fellow students, the relationship you have with your parents when you're at that age, and trying to discover your identity. So I don't want to sell this story short and say it's just about, Sarah searching for love or trying to wait for that perfect guy. It's really a lot more than that, right?
Right, right. It really does follow, you know, her adventures with trying to figure out math and her father being all overprotective. It's got a lot of cute, you know, coming of age type of things happening.
Yeah, and I mentioned that a lot of us can relate to trying to fit in, certainly struggling with math in high school, and you know, dealing with parents and such. And her dad is actually a pretty cool guy. He seems pretty easygoing. Anytime it seems like he's trying to stick his nose in, he's coming from a good place. You know, he wants to make sure that his daughter's protected. I certainly understand that, having a daughter of my own. But yeah, it is at its heart a romance story, and we're just getting started. It seems that Sarah has a few choices, a few possibilities that she may pursue. But that's something that we can relate to, a lot of us as well, right? I mean, a lot of us have relationships, and it's not always easy, especially at that age, if you're kind of shy the way Sarah is. And so is that kind of how you approach the story to begin with? Like, here's something that we all can relate to, you know, having these feelings and not being sure what to do and, you know, wanting to find love, but not necessarily knowing where to look, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people can relate. We all have, you know, our friendships and our crushes, you know, as we've grown up, even if we're adults, we're all just trying to figure out how to, you know, be better friends, or if you're going to end up with your friends. I think anyone can kind of relate to this kind of romance/relationship story. Yeah.
And so when we talk about Sarah Lynn specifically, how much of you as a person, how much of your own personality and the things and experiences and such that you went through growing up, how much of that did you draw on when you're kind of fleshing out Sarah? Like, how much of her is you, so to speak?
Yeah, I say a lot. It was accidental. It didn't start very much like that. Well, kind of. We are both really bad at math, never been very good. So it's really easy for me to, you know, show that side of her. I've also, you know, around the same age, didn't have my first kids yet. And like, my dad is pretty similar to her dad, and my best friend is pretty similar to her best friend. You know, there's a bunch of like things that are very similar, but there's also a lot of differences between us. She's definitely more, a little more crazy and more less crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. But, I mean, you write what you know.
Right.
Now, other than Sarah, we mentioned her dad. Can you give us a rundown on some of the other main characters? Obviously, you probably wanted to talk about Patrick. Probably want to talk about her tutor, and then the dreamboat guy who shows up early on that all the girls have a crush on. Those seem to be kind of Sarah's, at least to this point, that maybe one of them is who, at least as from what I can tell, maybe that she's going to end up with. So can you just give us a rundown on each of those characters?
Yeah. So we have Patrick, who is her best friend. They are just tease each other a lot, and he's always, I think he thinks he's trying to help her and make all these bets with her so that she'll, you know, get out of her comfort zone or something. But he's a pretty funny guy. He's a very comedic relief character. Then we have Oliver, who's the subway boy. There's this blonde kid with glasses who suddenly she tries to kiss and ends up being her sister. So he is, you know, pretty shy, pretty quiet, very mysterious. You don't really know what's going on, and you know, he's just he's a mood. He's all a little grumpy, but some people just find him adorable. And we got Joe, who's, like you said, the dreamboat that suddenly shows up in class. All girls are in love with him. Your typical super hot man that seems unreachable. And then we got her dad, who's just everyone's dad that I think most people usually say that they can relate, because he's very dad-like with his dad jokes and his LOLs. Then we got, you know, Lulu Bonbon, who's this mystical, magical tarot reading, mystical, magical girl. And yeah, there's a few other characters. Yeah, these are my kids, my babies.
Yeah, I love when Sarah goes, she's in the restroom at school, and Lulu pops her head out of the stall and says, "Hey, you know, come in here, let me read your fortune," and basically drags her in there. And Sarah's first reaction to being in the stall was the same reaction I had. She's like, where'd the toilet go? Where's
that? Right.
So hilarious. So, but I wanted to also to ask you, there's got to be – it's so funny because I've known – I haven't had a relationship like that, but I've known guys that have had girls as their best friend, kind of like Patrick and Sarah's relationship. And it's like you can't really tell, and I think you did a good job capturing that. Like, does Patrick actually have feelings for her? Does he just see her as one of the guys? He's making these bets with her, but then it seems like when she's talking about these other guys, especially Joe, Patrick seems to get a little jealous. And so that's an interesting dynamic that you've set up between the two of them. It's like, yeah, it's really interesting, and I think somewhat realistic. So is that something you're purposely trying to keep us guessing as readers?
Oh, of course. Well, that's the whole point of the adventure into diving into the story, where you just have to keep reading so you can figure out, you know, how everyone's feeling and thinking. And yeah, I think it's a lot of fun to write Patrick's story. I always share this with a bunch of my fans that he's based after my actual best friend. And so it's just kind of interesting to see how I portray him, how he now reads the story. So it's kind of like, how do we take this?
Now, being that this came from the Discover side, or the Canvas side, and you've moved over to Featured now, and you kind of re-release the episodes, has there been anything that you decided to change? Like, you know, as you've gained more experience as a creator, as the stories, you know, you developed it a little further. Have you tweaked anything now that you're going back and re-releasing the episodes?
Yeah, I have actually. A bunch of dialogue changed to, you know, better communicate some messages. And really the very first scene as a subway was changed. Originally, he went in for the kiss without asking first, but, you know, Webtoons thought that was a little too, you know, sexual assault-y-ish. So they were like, we got to figure out another way so that it doesn't, you know, we don't want to promote that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It's probably not good to just go and kiss someone. Right. So we just switched the story where she asks him first, and that in its own was awkward enough for the starting of the story. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I've changed, some major plot lines that keep changing that haven't appeared yet. But I think, yeah, I've gained a lot of experience since I first started posting, I think, and it helps a lot to have Webtoons editors help me out, and a bunch of friends also help me write. So it's, yeah, cool.
So have most of the changes in your mind been kind of from the perspective of making the story better now that you've gained experience, or have there been some changes that kind of surprised you, where you realize now that you've kind of lived with these characters for a longer period of time, maybe you're changing their stories because you realize, well, no, I didn't necessarily have a good grasp, and now that I kind of know them better, they wouldn't really do that. They would do this.
Yeah, actually. Yes, that happens very frequently because I haven't yet written the very ending of the story because I started writing it as I was kind of living it. And so, I think, you know, a bunch of these characters are, not that they are the people I know, but based on personalities of people that I know and things that have happened to me. And so I drew a lot from that. And as that, you know, kind of changed in my life. And as also, as I wrote more and got to know my own characters more, I'm like, oh man, I really like Patrick. And I'm like, oh, now that I know Joe more, I'm like falling in love with him. And oh, Oliver, you know, like, so it's, I don't even know who to ship. So it's hard. But I think I just want to, you know, take it in a natural way and keep writing it however it feels that would be most realistic. And you don't really know what's going to happen at the end. And so I just, you know, I like keeping it the mystery that we'll see as we get to know the characters together, we will discover what's best for Sarah Lynn to end up with, you know? So there's just, it's a fun adventure that I'm on as well.
So looking back at from where you started in the beginning, when you first started planning out the story to where you are now, is that a big surprise that the characters really kind of came to life and started like becoming more real to you, to the point where you did need to change a few things here and there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. As I write more about them and get to know them more, I'm like, oh man, some things have age and some people have to react differently to things, because when you start dreaming about your own characters, that they're becoming very real, it's, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, another thing, you know, I mentioned kind of the readability of it, how compelling it was, and I want to talk about that in a second. But the other thing that I think sort of goes hand in hand with that, or sort of leads into that, is the pacing of the strip. I think it's paced extremely well. And I want to give you your props on that, because in my experience, pacing of a story is one of the hardest things for a new creator to get right in sequential storytelling. You know, there can be a tendency to try to squeeze in too much dialogue, and it becomes like these walls of text when you're trying to tell the story too fast. If you drag it out a little more, especially with kind of the vertical scroll, it can kind of stagnate in spots. But I really felt like the Kiss Bet had a really solid, steady pace to it. Is that something that you worked on really hard? Was it something you were conscious of, or was it one of those things where it's just something you're naturally very good at?
Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear that you like that aspect of it. Actually, it's a little bit of it. I don't love reading a ton when I'm, you know, trying to read a webtoon. And so I try to keep it very simple and to the point with each episode. And, yeah, it's something that I learned earlier on when I started posting, that I just enjoyed the stories that you would scroll and they were just, the text wasn't very long. I don't know. And yeah, I don't know. I think it comes a little bit natural, I guess, but it's also something that I really worried about. So I think I put a lot of attention into it because I didn't want it to not be easy to read.
Yeah. Was there ever any time where your editor on the strip was like, well, you know, it feels a little slow here, or feels a little too fast here, we need to kind of spread this out?
Not very much like that. I think it's mostly like the end of episodes, you want to end it with a cliffhanger or something that'll bring readers back. Right. It's mostly that kind of stuff where I'm like, I kind of just want to end it with like, and everything was great, the end. See you next week. but yeah, I think my editor really wants me to, like, you know, keep the cliffhangers coming. It's mostly that.
Well, yeah, it definitely sounds like you have a kind of a natural flair for the pacing, which is really great. Take advantage of that for sure. But yeah, you mentioned kind of ending with the cliffhangers. Yeah, I mean, they're not these giant cliffhangers like it's some action story or something.
Right.
But like I was saying, it felt like a very compelling read, and it wasn't always what happened in the last few panels. It's just the way that you structure the story. I know we are many, many, many episodes from finding out, you know, who Sarah Lynn might end up with, or seeing the progression of, you know, she may start out with one of the guys, one person, and then end up with somebody else. I fully realize that. But like I said, I have never read a romance strip that where I was just so invested right away. And I really want to know, like, what the heck is going to happen. So do you feel like that is just built into the story, the way you made it right away with her three different choices? Or is it something you also consciously work at, like, to keep us guessing as readers?
How do I answer this question? I think it was a lot of, like, who she is going to end up with, and just having you fall in love with the character so that you want, you know, the best for them, and you want to see, you know, success in the for the main character and for all the other ones. So I think it really goes very much into really getting to know your characters and sharing about them in a way that people want to come back and be friends with them, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right, because as I sit here and think about some of the things that I'm wondering about, like questions I have about the strip, it's like we were saying, it's not just who she ends up with or what her relationship is like with her dad, but I also find myself, but is she going to pass calculus? Like, how's she going to do on her math test? You know, it's the whole thing. It's a window into this world, and you've created these characters that seem so real and so realistic that I think that's a big part of it. Kind of like watching a reality show, you know, we can't wait to find out what happens next.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot about, you always hear, right, what you know, like you said at the beginning. And I when I was younger, I was always like, yeah, but I don't know anything. Like, I'll make up my own, you know, other thing that I don't know about, and it'll be cool too. But I think it's just so right. Like, as soon as I learn that I need to take from things that I know about in my life, it just, you know, storytelling just became so much easier. You're so familiar with what you're trying to say, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. So I think that's important.
Now, I want to give you the chance to tease anything that's coming up in the strip. Obviously, we don't want to get spoilery, and we're not going to give any clues on who she's going to end up with. But is there anything coming up in the next few episodes that, as the creator, has you excited to share with the readers and for us to get a chance to see?
That's an interesting question. I feel like anything I say can just spoil anything, and I'm mostly just excited for the end of this first season, because something big will happen there. Say that, and I'm pretty sure everyone knows what it is. But I'm excited for that, which is not very far away. But
yeah, how many? Because I think there's 9. I want to say 9 episodes out so far. So how many, how many episodes the first season's going to be?
It's around 25-ish.
Okay.
26, 27, depending on how much I end up stretching it to make it feel good. Right. But yeah.
So we're about a third of the way, maybe a little more than a third of the way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's change gears here and talk a little bit about the Webtoon platform itself. It sounds like, you know, you when you discovered it, you were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like you said, you know, any regular Joe Q citizen can get on there and create a strip. So it sounds like, from your perspective, it's something you would really recommend to aspiring creators to check out and give a try.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think a bunch of people write me and ask me, like, what do you recommend? Like, I wish I want to be a Webtoon creator as well. And I'm like, just start posting. Like, this is an amazing place that's all ready for you to start creating. And it's so easy to use. And the community in Webtoon's amazing, because people just, they comment and they love everything. And I've been in other online comic, web comic, posting places that aren't very, I don't know. I love webtoons. Let's just say that. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's not just the community of fans, but the community of creators that really seem like they're helping the new one, people that are starting out, right? It's not like a competition where everybody's like, no, I don't want someone else to succeed because it means I'm going to get more views. They really kind of reach out to the people that are starting out and give advice, right?
Yeah, that's something else that I really love. I love you mentioned that because as soon as I, you know, started reaching out, even through Instagram to others, like some of my favorite creators, they immediately just, you know, answer. I'm like, hey, how do you do backgrounds so well? What program do you use? You know, everyone's just so nice to each other, and we really just help each other out, and it's amazing. There's not feelings of like, you figure it out. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Have you had a chance to meet any other webtoon creators in person yet?
Not in person. Oh man, I would love that so much. I live far away from everyone, I feel. but I think my goal is to go to one of those cool Comic-Con conventions sometime soon and meet people.
Yeah, I've heard from several of the creators that I've had on that have had that opportunity to go to a convention where Webtoons is and sit on a panel with other creators, and they all just rave about the experience. So I'm right there with you. I hope you get to experience that someday. But I did want to also ask you kind of to move from the creator side of things to the reader, the fan side of things. Did when you put the strip on the what was the Discover at the time and now Canvas, when you put the strip up and started kind of building your readership, did it take off right away, or do you feel like the strip took a little while to kind of catch on?
So I had been posting other stories that are still there, mm-hmm. But I finished. I started posting some other ones and some of them kind of started going. And I had the idea for Kissbit a really long time ago, but I hadn't, you know, done digitized it yet. And so I was like, I'm none of these are, you know, super exciting. And, you know, all creators are the same. So we all just do a bunch of comics at the time until one of them works more. Mm-hmm. And so I posted the first episode, and then I went to bed and I was like, oh, I have a good feeling about this one. And then the next day I had like a ton of followers, and I was like, oh wow, a bunch of subscribers. And so I started posting super regularly, because at the beginning they were more silly, and so I started just doing quick sketches and just started getting the story going without putting too much color and stuff. And it started going off pretty quickly. I was like, whoa, what's happening here? So that was cool. That hadn't ever happened to me before.
So it sounds like it really struck a chord right away, and probably for a lot of the reasons we were talking about. You know, it's compelling, it's relatable, it's very readable. Yeah. You kind of, like you said, you try to keep it simple in terms of dialogue and such. So that's really great. And then Webtoon reached out and said, hey, we'd like to bring it over to the feature side.
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, that was a dream come true, because I entered the Webtoons contest that they had going on, and I got honorable mentions. That was pretty cool. And I was like, oh man, that's all I needed. Mm-hmm. But then a few weeks later, I got the email Webtoons, and I was just so excited.
Now, so I imagine a lot of your fan base from the Canvas side followed you over to the featured side, but you must have had a lot of new readers as well. You know, the featured side just has, you know, more eyes on it, especially if you're on that front page. So did you notice an uptick right away in your readership once you moved over?
Yeah, I have a lot of loyal followers from back in Discover, and they're still, you know, they're always very nice. But then the new readers, just equally, it's great.
Have there been any fan interactions since you've moved over to the feature side that have stood out to you? Like somebody that just loved the strip or told you, you know, gave you a good piece of advice, or just the right thing at the right time, so to speak?
Oh, well, I get a bunch of I get a lot of, you know, comments and emails about how I've inspired them to make their own stories, which is the best feeling.
Oh, wow.
I remember doing that as a young creator and reaching out to other ones, and I'm like, hey, you inspired me to create my own story. I want to be like you someday. And when people say that to me, I'm like, you are going to be like that someday because, you know, look at me, I did it. And I get a bunch of other comments like, you need to work on your chins. Everyone's chins are kind of, you know, it's just funny things like that. But it all helps to you know, work a little bit more on anatomy and other things. You know, people are always going to have something to say, which is greatly appreciated for improvement, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, as an artist, right, you always want to make sure that you're challenging yourself to constantly improve. And I'm sure if you go back and look at your, you know, early work, you probably, and I hear this from a lot of creators, they cringe a little bit going, oh, did I really draw it that way?
Oh, yeah. That happens every day.
Well, like I said, I think the strip's amazing, Ingrid. I can't wait for more of the story. I really want to thank you for joining me. And I do want to give you this chance as we're kind of wrapping up here. Anything you want to say to your fans or your readers who are listening to this, anything that you want to share?
First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. This has been really great. And I'm so happy I get the opportunity to talk about something that I love, which is, you know, creating comics that I can share with others. And I don't know, I guess the people out there that are on the same journey, I just want to say, just go for it. You know, you're going to fail a ton. I did a bunch of comics that never went anywhere, but until, you know, you got to fail a few times until you get something successful or more or that inspires others. But yeah, just start it and finish it, because that's the only way to get anywhere. So yeah, that's my little piece of advice that I learned.
Yeah, it's good advice. Don't give up. Keep on plugging along. You'll eventually find what works for you.
Yep.
If any of our listeners don't already follow you on social media, if they haven't had a chance to check out the Kisbet, certainly recommend going to Webtoon and read the strip. Like I said, there's about 9 episodes out right now, so you can get it caught up pretty quickly. So there'll be a link in the show notes to the Webtoon site for the strip. But if anybody wants to follow you on social media, Ingrid, is there a particular place where you post the most, where you're most active, where they can interact?
Yeah, my Instagram, it's Ingrid, INGRID, comics. So Ingrid Comics.
Okay, great. And I'll put a link to Ingrid's Instagram in the show notes as well. So if you're having trouble finding it, you can go click there and check it out. So again, Ingrid, thanks for joining me. Congratulations on getting moved over from Discover to the featured side. Like I said, I really, really enjoy the strip. And best of luck. And, you know, we'll have to have you back on maybe after season one wraps up and season two is about to kick off.
Yay, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, then we'll be able to talk about this big surprise coming at the end of season one without being too spoilery.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, everybody. Have a great night. You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.